Welcome back to Master the Marketplace with ETLs. Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the show. We have a very special guest with us today by the name of Kerry Rhodes. Kerry, welcome to the show. Kerry is our Director of Marketing at ETLs. So, Kerry, welcome.
Thank you, Kunal. Happy to be here.
Fantastic. Well, super excited to have you here. And we're going to talk about something exciting today, which is the Amazon jungle. Amazon is so big, so huge. There are tons of programs for brands out there, for vendors out there, for sellers out there. So we're going to talk about all of that today. And I can't think of another person to talk more about it than you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great.
Great. So to get started, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, what you do at ETLs, and where you've been so far?
Sure. So, I've been here at ETLs for about 7 years. Prior to coming to ETLs, I worked for a company called drugstore.com that was acquired by Walgreens back in, I think it was 2011. Worked on the marketing team there. And then prior to that, just worked at a marketing agency. And I'm originally from the Seattle area. So love Seattle, but moved to Spokane prior to working here at ETLs. And absolutely love Spokane. With my family, we love doing a lot of the recreating in the area, enjoying the lakes and skiing. And so, just really happy to be here. And then over the past 7 years, my journey at ETLs has kind of been, I guess anyone that's been at ETLs this long has had worn a lot of different hats along the way and had a lot of different kind of responsibilities and job functions, which I think makes it, more meaningful, at least for me. But I currently oversee the marketing department. So that encompasses our digital marketing, including our SEO team, our search marketing, and our inbound marketing, as well as our creative team. And within our creative team, we do kind of everything for brands, internally for ETLs, building the ETLs brand, our website, pretty much everything under the sun from the creative side.
That's great. That's great. So, question for you, just personal question. What got you attracted to the field of marketing and branding? What was so exciting for you about that?
I think just the psychology behind it and, captivating people's attention and being able to convey to them why your product is better than anyone else's, and then eventually, earn their trust and loyalty through kind of the conversion process. But I did study it. I went to Washington State University down in Pullman, so go Cougs. ever since college, I've just kind of had a passion for it. And then being able to actually execute it, within the field, it's a lot more rewarding.
Fantastic. Great, great. So let's just get into it then. So today our topic is really to talk about all the options that brands have when it comes to the Amazon marketplace specifically. So I'm a brand. I want to sell on Amazon. Tell me about the gamut of options available out there. Like, what are the different programs? How should I be thinking about the landscape of Amazon?
Yeah, that's a very, very, very loaded question,
right?
But I will try to simplify it best I can. So brands have a lot of options, which I think is why one of the big reasons why it can be very daunting to launch your brand or grow your brand on Amazon, just because there's so many paths to do that. For example, within selling your product, there's really three different ways, and they can be kind of blurred in what that looks like. You can sell directly to Amazon. A lot of people call that 1P, Amazon Retail Direct. And then you can work with a third party, or you can represent yourself through the Amazon channel. So even within those three options, those can be very confusing, and there's a lot of nuances and differences between each one, pros and cons. So that's just one example.
Got it. And then what about just supply chain examples? That's from a business model perspective, but what about, FBA, MFN, all these different options? What options exist for brands to manage their supply chain when it comes to Amazon?
Right. So also a lot there. FBA kind of being the driving one and the one that we have the most experience with here at ETLs. That's really one that Amazon promotes because they make commissions, but also because consumers have the best experience. They get prime eligibility, so they get the products within 2 days, fulfilled by Amazon. So Amazon kind of owns that end to consumer experience. But yes, like you mentioned, there's MFN, there's seller fulfilled prime, SFP. So MFN is really a manufacturer drop shipping the product on Amazon, not Prime eligible, and the product can vary in terms of how long it actually is received by the end consumer. And then seller fulfilled Prime is something that Amazon's been pushing over the last, I believe, few years And it's just a way for brands to be able to get that Prime eligibility so that the consumer can still get the product within 2 days. They get the benefits of Prime, but the seller is actually fulfilling it out of their own warehouses rather than using the Amazon warehouses.
Right.
So with doing that, there are some, obviously they have to adhere to the 2-day delivery, and it can be, it's pretty stringent for a brand to be accepted into that program.
Got it. And then that's maybe some hybrid between the MFN and the FBA model or some in between there.
Exactly. Yep.
Perfect. Yeah, I think FBA obviously is the giant here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Amazon has always traditionally been or is an operational first company. And
right.
I don't think they can do operations better than anyone out there.
Right.
And there's a cost curve that other players have to climb to get mm-hmm. to the same level as Amazon. And they consistently invest in new and new programs when it comes to fulfillment. And so FBA obviously is something that we subscribe to, or that's our default. But certainly we support other programs as well.
Right. And I think when consumers see that it's fulfilled by Amazon, there's also a little bit more
trust
and loyalty. Right. So I think that also helps.
Perfect. Okay. So then from a marketing perspective, so that's on the business model side, mm-hmm. that's on the fulfillment side. So we've got those two covered. Now from the front end marketing side, what programs exist at Amazon? How should a brand think about the front end of actually selling to consumers?
Yeah, the exciting side.
Exactly.
So the Amazon ecosystem, also an area that has a lot of confusion within the industry, just because one, they're constantly kind of rebranding their own placements and opportunities. So it just has lended itself over the years to kind of a lot of confusion and a lot of mystery, but it's really pretty simple. They have it divided kind of into two sectors, the Amazon Search Console on one side, which is primarily the CPC, the cost per click ads. And then on the other side, they have their display arm. So those are usually like the bigger splash buys or, the bigger, CPM, the cost per mil purchases. So, it's Amazon's DSP, Amazon Demand Side Platform is what that stands for. And it's the only DSP that enables advertisers to programmatically buy ads on Amazon. So other DSPs are great because you can programmatically purchase ad placements, but not on Amazon. So that's something that they've really been investing in a lot over the last few years and has gained a lot of traction for them.
Got it. And so that's from the perspective of just running ads on the Amazon platform. But what about just building your brand on the platform? Like the Amazon stores, I think they have something like that.
Yeah.
Are there other programs like that brands should know about?
Yeah, Amazon stores is a great one. And Amazon also has kind of put a lot of focus on that. It's a better way for brands to merchandise their products. So when a consumer's on the product detail page, they can actually click through to the brand name. And if there is a brand store built out, the consumer can see ideally all of the products that brand has to offer on Amazon in a better merchandise fashion. So for instance, if the brand has, like a seasonal line, for instance, they could have it merchandised so that the consumer is shopping kind of in that fashion. Also there's the ability for advertisers or for brands to be able to track, any conversions through to the brand store using an encrypted ID link. So that's something relatively recently that Amazon has released. And I think most people are aware of how guarded Amazon is with giving brands or sellers any information about the consumers. But this is kind of a step forward on the advertising side where they're encouraging advertisers to drive external traffic to Amazon for the consumer to eventually convert or ultimately convert on Amazon. And then for the advertiser to see how that consumer converted based on the tracking link that the advertiser is using.
Got it. So then if I'm a brand, how should I think about, my own website that I have that has all my catalog mm-hmm. on there versus the Amazon brand store? How should I think about investing in one or the other? Like, are there pros and cons that one should think about?
I think that, here at Etails, from what we've learned over the last several years, is that having a brand strategy that's very holistic is very important. So having consistency in brand is very important, whether it be on your direct website or on Amazon. You want a consumer to have a confidence in your products and your brand when regardless of where they're shopping. So we really encourage brands to really have like a consistent feel and tone and personality across the two. But I think it's important that brands establish themselves on Amazon through the brand store and really use a lot of the same creative, a lot of the same you know, terminology and content that would be on your direct website on the brand, on the Amazon brand store, because really you should be thinking about it as an extension of your brand. And we know that, you know, more and more consumers are purchasing on Amazon. I think the statistic most recently is around 55 to 60% of consumers actually starting their searches on Amazon. So regardless of whether they just start their search there and then they eventually convert on your website, it doesn't really matter to the brand in most cases. So making sure that regardless of kind of where they're doing their due diligence and their research, they're finding what they need and they're having trust in and have a good perception of your brand when they, wherever they see it.
Got it. Okay, this is interesting. So then from a marketing perspective, how should a brand think about like who does the work for them? So should a brand be investing in their own marketing capabilities to go programmatically buy ads and figure out what their ad strategy should be on the platform? Should they give that to an agency? Or should they just give it to Amazon if they're on the 1P play? Like how does a brand think about who should do this work for them?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on what work is being done, but you know, certain brands that we've worked with have a pretty robust team internally that can handle a lot of the marketing, or even if it's just the creative. But I would highly recommend working with someone that at least has the time and ideally the expertise to be able to execute on whatever the strategy is. So typically when we work with brands, we do advise them on kind of strategy. So to your question of, you know, how should a direct website kind of reflect within Amazon, things like that, those are conversations that we have with brands all the time because it is kind of the wild, wild west and Amazon's changing every single day. And so it's important to work with someone that's kind of in the mix all of the time so that they know the best practices and the, you know, compliance changes and all of those different things that are going to eventually aid in a brand success on Amazon. But, you know, kind of a long-winded way of answering the question, I think, you know, working with a team of experts, like I said, but also if you're able to find a technological solution or software that's able to improve your efficiencies and automate a lot of your practices right. So that you can work towards specific KPIs and you're kind of one step ahead of Amazon, that's really the end goal. And that's what we try to bring is a mix of technology and human expertise.
Right. And in Amazon's case, if Amazon buys 1P from a brand, do they take over all the marketing or how does that split work?
No. And I think that's a common misconception is there is the opportunity for brands to advertise. But often what we hear is that brands are responsible for actually executing on the marketing themselves.
Right.
So if they sell to Amazon retail, it's kind of on them to make sure that the sponsored ads are running and all of the different placements are firing and optimally running and making sure that they're one step ahead of their competitors in the space and that they're constantly monitoring bids and all the nuances that come along with advertising on Amazon.
Right. I think you're right. There's a misconception that, you know, that once I sell to Amazon 1P, then I'm out of the equation.
Right.
But that's not the case. It's still a partnership. You still have to grow your business. You have to work with Amazon. You've got to figure out your marketing strategy. It's your business at the end of the day. And so you have to build your own strategy when it comes to, even if you're selling 1P on Amazon.
Right. And I think another thing with that too is you're going to find that with a lot of things in selling to Amazon, just the sheer nature of them being so big rather than, you know, above everything else is that the data is going to be convoluted if you get any reporting at all. Typically brands don't get reporting and they're charged co-op fees, which are very unclear to the brands of what exactly they're being charged for. There's data limitations in how far back the data goes. So they may be capped in how much data they're able to access. So different things like that. And that's, again, why working with a partner that has the software solutions in place and the expertise that can provide you all of that so that you truly are making the most educated decisions.
Correct. Well, that's good. So we talked a lot about, you know, the Amazon platform itself. How do you present yourself there? We talked a little bit about your own website and maybe extending or having a holistic brand strategy. But let's talk, you know, even beyond that. Like, what about social media? How much of that should you be working with Amazon on? How much should you have your own strategy? Are there programs on Amazon related to social media? How do I get into Amazon's social feed?
Yeah, that is very, from what I know, that's very subjective based on, you know, who the category manager is.
Right.
And it's more handled by Amazon directly. So most brands aren't going to have success in going to Amazon and saying, hey, I want to be in your next Instagram feed.
Right.
So it's, you know, Amazon is, as we know, obsessive about the consumer. So it's all going to be about what their consumers are wanting, what products are selling well, you know, what's the latest in the industry. You know, I personally follow Amazon Fashion and Amazon Home, and a lot of times it's like what the most relevant influencers are posting, and they'll reshare that and things like that. So while having a social media strategy is vital to your success, especially now as more millennials are kind of following influencers and following social media to make their purchasing decisions, it's not going to be something that you're going to get out of working with Amazon directly. So it's something that the brand owner needs to kind of strategically decide, are we going to handle this in-house? Are we going to work with an agency? Ideally, you work with an agency who can handle your Amazon marketing, your social media strategy and everything, so that it's all consistent and holistic.
And you also recommend, I think, that the way you position your brand out there should be the same across different marketplaces too. So even if you're selling on Walmart, for example, right, like you should have a holistic strategy that encompasses your online presence. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yep. And again, it just goes back to what consumers' perception is when they see your product on Walmart or on Amazon or wherever they're shopping.
Correct. Great. And so coming back to that, the influencer program, for example, we have an influencer program at eTales. I mean, you can work with us and, you know, mm-hmm. we'll connect you to influencers. I think Amazon probably has that as well. So I think so. I'm not too sure. But I've definitely noticed that the Amazon fashion page, for example, is mm-hmm. is pretty active when it comes mm-hmm. to influencers. They have the influencers that showcase some of the product that they have on the Amazon, you know, platform. So how should a brand think about influencers if they want to go about it on their own or work on their agency, you know, through an agency like us versus going to Amazon? Amazon's not going to take them in. How do they still have an influencer strategy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, Amazon does have an influencer program, but it's mostly catered to the influencers themselves so that they can use right. Amazon Associates, which is Amazon's affiliate program, to be able to make a commission for sales. So
I see.
It's a great offering for influencers, especially if they're promoting Amazon products a lot. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, we work with a network of influencers, and I think that's probably the most scalable way to do it. We can actually apply to have certain specific influencers review our product either on their blog or on their social media, or they can apply based on what product we're wanting more promotion of. So we've been working with Activate, which is a network that has over 100,000 different influencers. And it's just, like I said, a much more scalable way for us to handle those campaigns. And we do have a team that manages that internally, but it definitely takes a holistic network for us to be able to tap into to quickly and effectively find the right influencer for the right product and the right brand.
Of course. No, makes sense. That's great. Yeah, I think a lot of people always forget that, you know, whatever Amazon does through all its programs, a company like eTales also does,
right,
you know, the same program.
Right.
So if they have an influencer strategy or program, we have an influencer strategy, we have an influencer program. If they're going to represent your brand on the platform, we might actually do more because we're not only representing your brand on a platform like Amazon, but across the internet.
I think Amazon may have copied us with their influencer program.
Yes, that might be true. So speaking of the influencer program, I can see that apply really well to maybe Amazon fashion, you know, as a category. Mm-hmm. But then let's talk about consumables, or maybe let's talk about just hard lines. Mm-hmm. If I'm selling batteries or, you know,
right.
Like how should a brand think about a strategy for more commodity-like products mm-hmm. as opposed to more high-end premium fashion-like products?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times with those products, the branding is still very important. And there's an influencer for almost every single type of product right. that we've worked with, which we work with across all categories. So there's definitely opportunity there still, but I think for commodity items, it's really important to kind of hone in on the utility use of the product and the content within the product listing and the way that you're really like your sponsored product and your CPC strategy, and just making sure that you're one step above competitors, because particularly for those types of products, typically you're going to find that they're more saturated categories. And so it's really important to do your due diligence and find kind of the pieces that make that product different and stand out from competitors, and then use those to your advantage through the marketing and really through every single way that you're getting it, increasing its visibility and viability on the marketplace.
Right, right. That's interesting. And so, you know, another question that some of our brands ask us is, well, how do we get into brick and mortar? So they're selling online, they want to mm-hmm. get into brick and mortar. Or maybe it's the other way around too. I mean, of course, the other way around exists. You know, selling in brick and mortar, you want to now go onto Amazon, and we support that. Mm-hmm. But does Amazon have programs to help get brands into brick and mortar because of their expanding presence on brick and mortar? Or is that coming? Do you know anything about that?
I know little about this, I'll be fully transparent there, but I know they have a program called Range Me where brands can, I think this is specific to Whole Foods, but brands can essentially submit their products or their brand, and then right. Amazon will determine whether it's a good fit or not. And then I believe they will facilitate that relationship if it's something that they want to move forward with.
Right. Yeah. And we've been internally at Etails, you probably know, we're working with, you know, a company called Miracle that helps connect brands to brick and mortar stores.
Right.
And so, you know, some of our brands hopefully will soon get access to that.
Yeah.
So again, just working with partners like Etails could give you access to maybe even brick and mortar.
Right. Yeah. I think outside of Amazon, there's so much opportunity.
And right.
Miracle is a really cool platform because it does just that. And they work with J. Crew. They work with a lot of high-end retailers that I know our brands are really excited about.
That's fantastic.
So I did have a question for you, Kunal. You were the shoes GM at Amazon.
That's right.
Right? So one thing that we're really excited to have internally here at Etails and just kind of tap into that knowledge and that kind of black box that Amazon is. But one question that I had from you from an advertising perspective is how is, we know that Amazon has a huge focus on marketing and advertising as that's a continued growth area for their profits. How as a GM is advertising or was advertising pertinent to you?
Yeah, it was an extremely important part of the equation. But the way it worked from my perspective was, so I ran all the operations of the business, but then we had a separate centralized marketing team that we would work with in very close tandem. And the relationship that we had with our brands, we would bring in people from the centralized marketing team to go and work on what the strategy looks like for that particular brand. So very similar to what we do with Etails, you create a small virtual team of sorts that has a marketing person, an account person, and all that. So we did the exact same thing at Amazon. And so, but to your point, you know, earlier, which is Amazon didn't just take over complete marketing. We still expected the brands to contribute. We would contribute strategy, as an example. We would say, like, this is how you should present your brand on Amazon. But then the brands would have to contribute dollars. They would have to contribute resources. It just dependent. It depended on where, you know, the equation was in terms of, you know, how much did you want to really fund versus how much you wanted to keep yourself.
Got
and
it.
So that process was very similar to how things happen at Etails. And a small team was created with the right marketing people. But yes, marketing is an extremely important part of the overall strategy for any brand to build their business on Amazon.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. And then kind of dovetailing off of that for deals, which I know has changed a lot over the last few years in terms of how many deals are running. And I know for us, just the saturated nature of the deals page has kind of lessened the attractiveness of running a deal just because the sell through and all of that has been limited. But how are, just from your internal lens, how were deals handled? Was it like if a certain brand wanted to run a deal within the shoes category, for instance, how would that come through? Because I've heard that it's kind of subjective based on the category managers for deal of the day specifically.
Correct. Yeah. So you're exactly right. So every category manager has a way of operating and, you know, how they want to manage their portfolio on the Amazon platform. And it also depends on the overall category goals. So not just for shoes as an example, but for fashion as a whole. And you know what the plan is there. So fashion versus hardlines versus consumables, like everyone has their own limits from when it comes to deals in general. But typically it's the same process as you're probably used to. You know, there's a quota of the number of deals that we should be running. There's a goal assigned to the different vendor managers. There's a deadline that they would go work with brands with. And they would say, like, look, this is the day on which you have to close on what, if you want to participate in deal of the day, as an example. And that would be a negotiation between the brand and the vendor manager. And so once that would happen, then either all the deals would get fulfilled. And if not, so that category would probably have, you know, a few deals open, but that would be given to other categories to fill. So that's how, it's just a typical, here's a quota of what we can run. And then everyone gets a deadline to go and fill that. And then if it doesn't work, then they just distribute the open slots across the company.
And would those category managers go out and proactively reach out to specific brands?
Correct. So all the category managers had vendor managers under them to go and each vendor manager managed a small portfolio of brands. And they were like account managers, basically. Mm-hmm. And so they would work with all their brands. And through that marketing strategy that I talked about, they would figure out if deal of the day was the right fit for that particular brand. And then they would convince the brand to contribute dollars. And then it's a negotiation. Sometimes Amazon would say, great, I'm going to put in the money myself because I think it's a really a good value proposition for your brand to do a deal of the day, because maybe sales are slowing. This is a good way to pick it up. So it's a negotiation, but okay. Yeah, typically it's just there are limited slots. They have to be closed. Everyone goes and figures out what brand is the best fit for that. And if it doesn't work, then the slot goes to someone else.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Aligns with what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Well, that was it from my end. I mean, I hope our listeners got a good sense of all the things that you can do on Amazon. There's a lot more. There are new programs coming all the time, but it's good to know that, you know, people like you are on top of things, Kerry. So I'm sure we'll have you again on the podcast to talk about more programs in the future as things keep changing in the Amazon jungle. But for now, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you, and hope to see you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Through conversations with experts in online retail with years of marketing, compliance, and inventory management experience, we seek to empower our listeners to master the marketplace. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you next time on Master the Marketplace with Etails.